Mm. Now, we're glad to see everyone tonight again to the meeting. We appreciate your attendance, and you're made very, very welcome to the gospel meeting tonight. Now, turn with me to John's gospel and chapter 14. John chapter 14, please. There's only one text that I want, but I'm going to read the verses preceding. Verse 1 of chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The text I want to use tonight, by the help of God, is the text well known to those present, I'm sure, in this meeting, and it's quoted night after night in the gospel, the text that the Lord Jesus says here, quotes himself these words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's a simple text, yet a profound text. We believe that this text really is an eliminating text. That is, if you listen carefully to what the Lord is saying here, you will conclude this, that this text eliminates any other way to heaven. And I want that to register tonight, because people come to our meetings, no matter where we travel, and somehow or other, back in their minds, they always think it's all right what they're preaching, but somehow or other, we're going to take a chance that our way will finally land us to heaven. Now, friend, I want you to get the text from Christ, not from the preacher. The Lord is answering the question of Thomas when he says, how can we know the way? And here's what he receives from Christ, a simple, plain text, pregnant with meaning. And my friend, I hope tonight it will touch some soul. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This text really is a comforting text in the context where we find it. It's to those that are really saved and going to heaven. It's the upper room ministry. The Lord has gathered his own. He's going to leave them. They've been with him now for 3.5 years. They've watched him. They've heard him. They've seen his works. They've heard his words. And now he's going to leave them. And hearts could be a little agitated, a little restless. He says, don't let your hearts be agitated or troubled or restless. You believe God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a comfort it was. Thomas says, how can we know the way? If you're going away from us, if you're going to leave us, how are we going to know the way and move through this life? What will happen? Will we be orphans here? No, said the Lord Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the answer. Even though I be in heaven, I'm still the answer for life's crises, for life's pathway along the road of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But I want to apply it very simply tonight. This text stands in contradistinction to every other way. You know, the Bible, if you read your Bible, right in the beginning, the threshold of our Bible, you read these words, when Adam sinned in that garden, and God thrust him out of the garden, it says he placed cherubim and the flaming sword that turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God is telling man, because of sin, no way back.
To try to move back to me will mean death. My holiness demands that you're cast out of the garden. You've sinned against me, and I can't accept you. That I forbid you to draw near. Now I'm a God of far distances. Man is at a distance from God because of sin. And my friend, no way back. My text tells me a way has been opened. Again, you remember the Bible so clearly tells us of those, according to Proverbs 14 and chapter 16, there is a way. A way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That is, friend, there are a lot of people in our world, sincere, kind, good living, upright, moral. Yet, friend, if you ask them, are you going to heaven? They have their way of going. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And many people are going to heaven in supposition, friend. They hope to arrive there somehow, some way, by their own religious way. It seems right, and it looks all right, but friend, you have to take off the mask to understand that all men stand before God condemned sinners, lost, guilty. We cannot make it back to God because of sin. You remember what the teaching of Romans chapter 3 is? There's none seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. And I wanted to quote very clearly the teaching of Christ in Matthew 7. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereof. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. Friend, tonight in the meeting, get it clear in your mind. No matter what way men may choose, or what way men may go, friend, all the ways that have been concocted in the minds of men, that have been engineered by man's ingenuity, thinking somehow we'll make it to heaven, friend, all those ways are going downward. They're all going to end in the same place of destruction, friend. They're all going to terminate in tragedy. I hope tonight God just would locate you. You know, it's awful hard to get people located. It's the last thing a person will say, I'm on the wrong way. And you don't have to be Irish to be stubborn to say it. It's within us all. You know, I often tell when I was heading one of my first trips up into the States there, I'd been there once before, but somebody else was driving. So I'm going myself now. And I thought I knew the way, all right. Yeah? And I traveled up the highway and further and further from home, right through New Brunswick, heading on up. And something made me say within myself as I'm driving along, are you sure you're in the right way, Albert? And I said, oh, well, yeah, I remember that barn there. I think I remember that. Yeah, I'm all right. And away I went on further. Then I said to myself, but are you sure you're on the right way? Too proud, of course, to stop and ask. The pride of man. Didn't like the stuff I thought I knew. And then finally, I saw a gas station. Well, I remember that Esso gas station. Because it was an Esso. Of course, there's Esso in every way. But I thought, this is it too. I'm all right. I'm still all right. Do you know the only time I stopped, friend? When the needle in the gas went down to nil, to not needing filled again, my tank, on the empty mark. And I had to pull into a station, and I had to stop, and I didn't like to say it. You know what I said? Instead of me saying to that man, mister, I believe I'm on the wrong way. That's what I should have said. You know what I said to him? I said to him, you know, I hate to ask this, but I said, I'm on the way to the USA. I'm okay, aren't I?
He said, sir, you are 70 miles out of your route. 70 miles. That's 140, really, to make all the way back. You know why, friend, I lost that 140 miles? Because I was too proud to stop within the few moments that I wondered whether I was on the right way or not. To stop someone and say, please tell me, am I on the right way? You see, friend, that's a very simple illustration. But that's our world. That's our Vancouver. That's our city. That's our world, friend. Our nation. People will not stop. Always hope against hope. I'm going to make it all right. When all the time they're going away from God. And my friend, they're not seeking after God. And they're not on the right way. I hope tonight God will locate you, friend. As you were born in the wrong way. As you were born away from God. As you were born, friend, you were born with your back to God. You were born in a way that leads downwards. Doesn't matter the culture. Doesn't matter the class, the creed, the color of skin, friend. All men are alike before God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let it sink, friend, in these meetings. Excuse me for getting a little roused at times, but it seems so difficult for people to grasp. I'm born wrong on a wrong way that leads to a downward path that leads to endless destruction, friend. That's where I've been born. That's what will make you halt tonight if you discover that. And you'll say, like Thomas, how can we know the way? Do you know the Bible speaks of those in the book of Job, hast thou marked the old way, which wicked men have trod, who were cut down out of time, who were overthrown in a moment. Friend, the old way, that's the old way of wickedness and rebellion against God. That fits our world, friend. What way are you on today? Have you discovered that? Now, really, I've read this text for my time in 8 minutes. I want to get to the text. Would there be a soul in this meeting? And you know, you've come in through that door and you're really confused. And you say to yourself, I don't know what to think about things anymore. Our world is a mess. And my life's a mess. And I don't know. I would like to be right. I would like to know that when I lay my head upon the pillow, when life's little journey is terminated, when I come to the end of the road, that I know that I'm going to heaven without a shadow of a doubt. That I'm on the right way. That I've got to know definitely for sure my sins are gone. And heaven's my home. Oh, I'm glad that day dawned in my heart and in my soul when I longed for that moment when I could say, I know that I'm going to heaven. I know I'll never, never, never spend a moment in hell where I deserve to be. Friend, tonight, is there one like that in the meeting? Within your heart, there's someone, some boy, some girl, and you're seeking tonight. You want to get the right way. You want to know. I want to take my text tonight. The Lord Jesus said, I am, without going to the truth and the life, that's a subject in itself, just the way. I am the way, the way. Number one, friend. I want to look at this way. That's the universal way. The universal way. That is, friend, that suits the Muhammad. It suits the Muslim. It suits my friend the atheist. It suits the skeptic if he comes to God in repentance. This way, friend, is a universal way. We propagate this way to the ends of the earth. We tell men the only way. It's not the gospel hallway, friend. Why, we preach it in the gospel hall. But friend, it's God's way. It's universal. God wants men to know that there's one way to heaven. Only one. And it's not a religion or a creed or a baptism. Or it's not a reformation. Or it's not an emotional experience. It's Christ, it's the person of the Lord Jesus. Absolutely,
totally, plus nothing.
It's the universal way, friend. How grand it would be if someone in this meeting tonight understood that God has planned only one way that leads to heaven, and it's for all men. I'm a firm believer, friend, when Christ on that cross died, He opened up the path to bliss for all men. Listen to the words of the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 2. There's one God, one mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a substitutionary ransom on behalf of all men. It's a universal way, friend. Doesn't matter whether a person's illiterate or educated. I never forget a chap one time many years ago when we were preaching the gospel, Robert McElwain and I in Clemensville. Never forget it. And this chap, we got him out to the meetings. He was illiterate. Had no schooling, whatever. I picked him up. It was in the winter time. I picked him up in the car. And the first night I got him there, he sat and listened to the gospel very intently. And as I left him off, I didn't preach to him on the way home. Don't do that. But I got him to the house, and just before he got out of the car, I'd say, "Kip, I'll see you tomorrow night." And I would have him out and close the door, and away he would go. I didn't give him a chance to retaliate or say yes or no. I just said, "I'll see you tomorrow night," and away he went. And he told me afterwards, he said, "Boy, I could have given you one," he says. He said, "You wouldn't even give me time. I didn't want to go every night." But anyway, come. Oh, I'd love you to come every night, friend. So we would. So those that come are usually those that get it. Well, Robert McElwain was preaching in Isaiah 53 and waxing eloquent, telling the great story of the Redeemer's love at Calvary and his substitutionary work. And he quoted, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes we were healed." Something made me feel as I was driving Kip home, there's a change in that. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. It's different. And just as he was getting out of the car, he said, "Kip, I'll see you tomorrow." "Oh yes," he said, "I'm coming tomorrow night." Then I just stopped out of the car myself. I said, "Look, tell me, anything happened to you in that meeting?" Well, he said, "My problem is," he says, "I can't read." And he said, "I took in tonight when that man was speaking that Christ was wounded for Kip's transgressions and he's bruised for my iniquities. But," he says, "I don't know where to find that." He says, "I don't know even where to look." I says, "Don't you worry about that." I says, "I'll show you where to look." I got him his Bible and I got a little flashlight and I underlined it. And his little Bible, he didn't even know how to look for the passage was. But I'll tell you what he did. He got on the way. He got on the way. Friend, to write, it doesn't matter the background. It's not education that comes into it, or intellect, or genius. All classes, friend. The highest, the lowest, the poorest, the richest. Doesn't matter, friend. It's a universal way. It's been opened for all men. All men. Not only that, friend, it's a costly way. It doesn't cost you anything. You know, they're building a bridge across from New Brunswick, the PEI. I don't know whether they'll ever get it, but to start it, it's going to cost more than what they say. It always does. Started off at $800 million, it'll probably go into $1.5 billion, maybe more, before they're finished. But I did notice recently in the paper, one man has died already. So it's cost a life before they've even put it across. And before they stretch the 9-mile stretch across to PEI, and I'd be happy when they do it. You know, I don't like waiting for the boats all the time. Right across. There were probably a lot of deaths, a lot of accidents, a lot of tragedies. But friend, I want to tell you that the bridging from earth to heaven, the bringing a sinner from the depths of his sins and putting him in heaven, cleansed from every sin, the bringing a sinner back to God in reconciliation, the justifying of a poor, lost, guilty sinner. My friend, it cost the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. God loved the world, and He gave His Son, friend, and at dark Calvary, I look at the immense, unfathomable cost to bring a sinner from the state of sin to the place of absolute joy and delight that sins are forgiven. Friend, I would like to tell you when that rain is over, at Calvary, it cost precious blood. It cost the death of the Lord Jesus. It cost God giving His Son. It cost the wounding and bruising of the man at Calvary. A friend, at that cross, we are going to tell you tonight in clearest language, the way is opened. The way is opened. Costly? Cost God an immense cost and sacrifice to give His Son. Ponder it tonight, you sinner in the meeting, out of Christ, on the broad road. If you're going to ever be in heaven, you'll have to look to the cross to recognize, it's free to me, but it cost God everything. He spared not His own Son. Not only is it the costly way, but you know, thank God that way tonight is open. I like that. That way is open. What I mean by that is, it's not always going to be open. It's been open when Christ died on that cross, He opened up the way. It had been barred, the way back to God had been closed. When Christ died, the way was opened. And friend, tonight, it's open tonight, 2,000 years, that door is open. I want to tell you, I feel it in my own soul, it's going to close very soon. You could be sitting in your last series of gospel meetings. Let me bring it closer. You could be sitting in your last night of gospel meetings. Because that door that was opened now 2,000 years, that Savior who opened the door by His death upon the cross and has went back to glory, that door's going to be closed. And those that are outside will be left eternal for eternal judgment. Sad to be outside a door and find it closed, friend. I've often said in my conversion when I used to come home alone, and the wee hours of the morning, I often thank God for a mother. Next to God saved me, I thank God for a mother. You know, the only the one mother. And I remember tripping home at night and trying to find the old well to rent at 3, 4, 5, 6 in the morning. And I can always hear the window open with a little noise and a creak. And in the darkness was setting the cold spell. A voice said, "Is that you, son, at your home cell?" Yeah. And I'm thankful that that door was always opened. And my mother would come down and bring me in so tenderly. Take me up to the bed. I don't think I can remember what she said. She always bowed down and said, "Oh God, thanks for bringing me home cell." I'm glad she kept the door open for me. She had no call to do it. But I'll tell you, as I live at the cross, thank God that door's open for a sinner on the road to hell. And that night, yonder in the roadside, without a watch, I hadn't got one, I couldn't afford it. A poor sinner on the road to hell, I understood for the first time Christ died for my sins, bore my judgment. Tell your friend, filled my soul with bitter tonight, and just like yesterday. Do you remember when God saved you when you looked to the cross
and you trusted in the finished work, the precious blood, and your soul was saved, you were sure you were on the way to heaven. She looked at the mother a week later across the table and said, "I was singing all week, but I didn't care." I said, "Mom, do you see a change in your son?" She said, "I don't know what's wrong with your son. Your whole night, every night, early, and you're humming hymns, and your Bible's open in your little bureau. I haven't got the Bible for 5 years, man." He says, "Mama, I see it in some windows. I can see it up on the table, just like yesterday." And she threw her arm around me, and she gave me a good tight hug with the tears coming down her face. I can hear you, "Prodigal's come home." And I want to tell you, that's what would happen tonight if you've got God's salvation. Look to Christ, friend, to see that He died for you. The way has been opened, a costly way, an open way. I close now. Redemption's way. Thank God for this grand book that we preach night after night, and we'll quote it and recode it, and we'll preach it and we'll re-preach it. And we'll tell you it simply and plainly as God helps us, friend. The only way to heaven is redemption's way. The blood has been shed. That's the only power that can cleanse a sinner. Put away your sins. Could I ask you tonight, are you on the way? Have you got Christ? Listen to the language of the Savior. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."